1st of April, 1933. The weather, which has been fine during the week, with the exception of a few short showers on Thursday, has turned out dull this morning. I hope it clears up for the boat race, which takes place this afternoon. It will be the first time I have listened in to it for a long time. Tonight, Dad, Mum and I are going to the new Scala Theatre to see the Selfridge Players acting The Ghost Train. It's 6 years since I saw the play when it was first produced at the Garrick, since when I have read the book and seen the film, both as silent and talky. I took Dad to see it at the East Ham Palace about 3 years ago, but like most things produced there, it was a complete washout. Changed Nansen's Farthest North, very good book which I enjoyed very much indeed, wading through the 800 odd pages of both volumes, for Ellison Hawkes's Remarkable Machinery. Toothache started up again this afternoon and was going strong by the time we reached the Scala. It somewhat marred my enjoyment, though the performance was very disappointing. Very good for amateurs, I suppose, but very poor compared with the style at the Garrick. 2nd of April, 1933. Woke up this morning with a face about twice as big as usual. Could hardly see out of my left eye. Attribute the cause to be due to an abscess. When I got up, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I looked at myself in the mirror and don't recollect having seen such a sight for a long time. Dad said it looked as though somebody had trod on my face, and Mum thought I looked like a pig when viewed from my left. 3rd of April 1933. The abscess, if anything, was bigger this morning, so I didn't go to work. It isn't at all painful, though now and again it stings. I cannot bear to wear my glasses for more than an hour at a time. I went to the doctor's tonight and he examined it and gave me a certificate. He said the abscess was broken and that I should rinse my mouth out with warm salt water and, if necessary, apply a poultice to my face. 4th of April 1933. It is much better today and I'm beginning to look more like normal. Spent the day mostly in reading and practicing on the piano. Strauss's Fledermaus, getting a good doing. Though of Chopin's second volume, I only know about a couple of preludes, and the rest are too hard for my liking. The weather has been glorious. I only hope it will be like it for Easter. It's a treat to listen to the children's hours during the week, though they cannot compare with the ones we used to have 10 years ago. 5th of April 1933. My face is nearly down to normal. I should have liked to have gone out into the country during this lovely weather, but that is taboo, so I spent the afternoon in cleaning up the bike and adjusting the cones on the rear wheel. Went back to work again today. I feel much better, although there is still a slight swelling of my upper lip and left cheek. They tell me one of the others is away also, with a severely sprained ankle, so they have been hard put to it, especially as there was a sudden burst of business during the days I was away. Quiet was restored when I returned, however, so that I am as slack as ever. Tonight, the end of term examination at night school in building construction. 10 questions were set, of which we had to do only 6. I completed mine just on time. They weren't too hard and left plenty of choice. 7th of April 1933. Brilliant weather. The temperature went up too this afternoon, and in the sun it was very hot. We took the mathematics exam tonight. The sums were all straightforward, and only one, containing a cube root, needed the use of logarithms. I finished 3/4 of an hour before time and spent another 15 minutes in checking. 8th of April 1933. Of course, the thought which is uppermost in my mind at present is my proposed journey to Claxton next week for Easter. Tomorrow is Palm Sunday. My plan at present is, if I can get Saturday off, to go by bike to Colchester, entrain for Skull and cycle thence via Bungay and Thurston. Of course, if I have half a gale at my back, I shall cycle all the way, but if it is the other way round, I shall have to extend the railway journey. 10th of April 1933. For 5 years today, I've been working in Marylebone, and last night was the first time I'd ever seen St John's Wood, apart from the metro station down below. Attended night school for maths exam tonight, and going at the usual time, 8:30, found I should have been there at 7. However, I wasn't the only one to make the mistake. Also, while I was feverishly working the paper, I looked at it well to see how many we were supposed to do, but could find no comment, so I did the whole 10 questions. On comparing notes subsequently, I found we had only to do 7. It was a bit of a rush, but I got through the whole 10 within 3/4 of an hour. 11th of April 1933. I wrote to Auntie Lil at Claxton yesterday, telling her of my arrangements, and, curiously enough, a letter from young Phil crossed mine and arrived today asking what time train I'm catching for Norwich so that they can meet me. 13th of April 1933. I suppose this is the last opportunity I shall have of entering up this book before I return from Norfolk. Here's a bon voyage and good weather. The following is written from notes compiled between today and the 19th of April. Had a somewhat busy evening. When I had had tea, I cycled round to Oggins's place and bought a repair outfit to try and stop a cut which had appeared in the rear outer cover. This done, I packed my bag. The following is a list of things taken by me. In the bag. Tools. Repair outfit. Oil can, etc. Pair of pyjamas. Pair of trousers. Cape and leggings. 4 clean handkerchief. Cap and slippers. Comb. Toothbrush and paste. I had a shave tonight, so I didn't want any tackle. Various books, small, for the boys. Maps, 2 of Essex and 1 of Norfolk and Suffolk. 1 spare collar and a pair of socks. On my person. Vest, pants, shirt, collar and tie. Cycling knickers. Coat and stockings. In the pockets of the coat and knickers were various papers, clips, money, penknife, and provisions to eat on the way. I retired to bed at 9:30. 14th of April 1933. Good Friday. The alarm woke me at 5:15 and I got up. I was ready to go at 6:15 and having made the farewells, set off just before the hour. I went up the Barking Road to Barking, travelled on through Becontree, where I first saw the sun, and Romford, where I turned along the Chelmsford Road. I reached the Avenue, Harold Wood, at exactly 7 o'clock and was at Brentwood at 9:30. I arrived at Chelmsford at 9:45 and Colchester just after 10:30. I found my way to the station and bought weekend returns to Diss for myself, 7 and 6, and the bike, 1 and 9. I had to wait over an hour for the train, which was late. It was due to leave Colchester at 11:33, but didn't arrive till 11:45. It left at 11:50. We did the 20 miles to Ipswich in 30 minutes, but stopped at every station after so that it reached Diss at 1:20 p.m, 20 minutes late. I left Diss at 1:30 and made for Scull, then Harleston and Bungay, which last I reached at 3 o'clock. Here I left the main road and travelled through Thwaite to Thurton, where the roads were pretty bad, and met Dunstan on his bike near the main road at the last mentioned place. This was about 4 o'clock. I arrived at the house at 20 minutes past and had a good clean-up and wrote a card to Mum and Dad telling them everything was all right, which I posted after tea. After I had been shown the dog and the 2 rabbits, christened Amy and Jim after the Mollisons, we passed the evening discussing all sorts of things and retired just after 10 o'clock. 15th of April 1933. This morning I went with the boys to Claxton Church with some flowers to decorate it for tomorrow, and in the afternoon Dunstan, Phil and I cycled down to Rockland Inn and hired a rowing boat for 2.5 hours. We enjoyed it immensely, though the wind was very strong at times. After tea I got Bill to show me the model railway, and afterwards we fell into talking about my dream line, the plans for which I have got out long ago and which I propose to start on as soon as we move into a house with a sufficiently large garden. I often wonder if it will ever be done or if I shall ever have the patience to complete it. We listened to the wireless tonight and heard Clapham and Dwyer and Julian Rose in the vaudeville, and after the news, Dame Sybil Thorndike gave 2 or 3 speeches from St. Joan by Bernard Shaw, which I much enjoyed. After this, again came 50 years of songs, with many of the old favourites right up to the trash of the present day, a sort of cavalcade of songs. 16th of April 1933. Easter Day. This morning we had breakfast about 8:30, and while Bill and Auntie Lil went to church, Phil, Dunn and I spent the morning discoursing on various subjects and playing ball in the garden. There is about 1 acre of land surrounding the house, about half of which is under cultivation. Anyhow, they have managed to keep themselves well supplied with homegrown fresh vegetables since they first came here last July. I saw the storerooms and larders today. Each one is about as big as our scullery at home. This afternoon, the boys and I tried the stationary steam engine I had sent them at Christmas, but although we tried for about 2 hours on end and burned about a gill of methylated spirit, we couldn't get the thing to go more than about half a dozen revolutions under its own power. I took the motion to pieces and put the new washers to the water gauge, but it was all of no avail. It raised steam all right, but there seemed to be a lot of friction in the motion I couldn't get rid of. Despite my flooding of the steam chest with oil, the water kept priming the cylinder. I went with Dan and Phil to the evening service at Carlton St. Peter tonight. One yokel in the choir nearly drowned the rest of the congregation by his singing. After church, we returned to the sitting room and had a most interesting conversation on customs and winter conditions in Canada, resulting in my dreaming I was chasing a moose round Hyde Park. 17th of April, 1933. All good things must come to an end. These last 3 days have simply flown. I got up at 7:30 and had breakfast just after 8. All the boys were to have accompanied me as far as Bungay, but as Dunn's bike developed a flat tyre last night, he borrowed Phil's, while Phil borrowed Bill's, so that poor Bill had to remain behind. I found Mum and Dad well, as well as Uncle Sid, who had come over for the weekend. They had been out and about during the holiday, though naturally, I suppose, they had missed me. 19th of April, 1933. Much cooler today. So cold, indeed, that we had a heavy shower of snow this afternoon. I went to the Carlton, Upton Park, tonight, and saw Douglas Fairbanks in Mr. Robinson Crusoe. Rather ridiculous, but very entertaining, as was the other film, Guilty as Charged. 21st of April, 1933. When going to bed tonight, we were appalled by a glow, as from a fire, in the sky to the west. 22nd of April, 1933. It seems that about 9 o'clock last night, the Rum Key at West India Dock, adjacent to the wood wharf where Dad used to be, caught fire, and that was the glow we saw last night. The Daily Herald estimates that it cannot be put out under 2 days. Everybody at work seems to have seen the glow, and they come from places as far distant as Southgate, Brentford and Willesden. The model railway exhibition was much bigger this year and had several good-sized tracks laid out. I did not stay long, only about 1.5 hours, then took the train to South Kensington. I was disappointed to find it shut at 6 o'clock and only had time to look at the photoelectric exhibition and the railway accessories, all in one room, before that time. 27th of April 1933. At evening classes tonight, we were told our results in construction. Mine was 90%, and I have been awarded distinction for both this and geometry. 28th of April, 1933. Attended evening classes tonight to learn the result of the maths. Was gratified to learn that I had been awarded another distinction, but was chagrined to find I had only 2 sums right. The bulk of my works were given for neatness and clarity in setting out. 29th of April, 1933. Went over to George's this afternoon. We spent the evening trying to get a permanent magnet dynamo to work as a motor off varying intensities of alternating mains current, but the net result was that we nearly succeeded in ruining the dynamo. Poor old Rags, George's dog, seems to be on his last legs. Nobody expects him to last the night through. He is suffering from acute gastritis and hasn't eaten anything since Easter. He looks as thin as a rake. The vet says that owing to the dog's age, about 12 years, he will not last long even though he gets better.